Welcome to KBOO, Judith Arcana, who also is has a program here on KBOO, a poetry hour once a month. But we, many in the Portland community, know about your work as a writer, which focuses on the politics of motherhood and abortion, among other topics. You were a Jane member, an underground abortion service that operated before abortion was legalized by the Supreme Court in 1973, in the famous Roe v. Wade decision.
Yes.
Well, with the Brett Kavanaugh appointment likely to go through
indeed
soon, and the further movement of the court to the right, there is certainly widespread worry, some would say even panic, about the court overturning Roe v. Wade. Well, history is never a matter of returning to an earlier era because the dynamics of each period differ in important respects.
Absolutely. The culture changes.
But what can we learn from that period before Roe v. Wade? There are perhaps some enduring insights from that period of struggle. Abortion was important. It wasn't the dividing issue between the Democrat and Republican Party, but it certainly carried an important place in the women's movement prior to the early women's movement, prior to the Roe v. Wade decision and a number of states to legalize it before the Supreme Court. Tell us a little bit about Jane, what it did, and then we can talk about some of the important insights from that period of struggle.
Sure. The Abortion Counseling Service of the Chicago Women's Liberation Union, which is the actual name of the service. Now, of course, everybody just calls it Jane, but we didn't. We just called it the service. And it was, in fact, a work group of the union, of the Chicago Women's Liberation Union, even though it was illegal and supposedly a secret, of course. Abortion services, abortion health care, has always been an open secret. Certainly here in Portland, we have the history of Ruth Barnett and many, many other providers in the first half of the 20th century who operated fairly openly, I think it is reasonable to say.
And some would say more safely than the back alley abortion term, that women did die of abortion, but I think there is this history of people performing abortion safely.
The back alley abortion, butcher abortion, they exist for a whole constellation of reasons. One of them, of course, that certainly women have been hideously victimized because of abortion being made illegal and very, very difficult to obtain.
And like many illegal or illicit activities, have to be done under conditions that are less than optimal,
exactly,
often quite quickly.
Exactly. And so we have those terms, we have that notion. However, as I think you're leading to, there were lots of people, and indeed in the moment right now while we are talking, there are, again, lots of people who are highly skilled, extremely compassionate, and very effective at supplying abortion health care in the United States and elsewhere on the planet. Because even if Roe is, as people like to say, on the books, which is to say it has not yet been overturned, as I'm sure many of our listeners know, more than 90% of counties in this country do not have abortion health care services available. And for many women in huge swaths of the national geography, there are few options. But a few of those few options are folks, usually women, sometimes midwives and nurses, sometimes doctors, as in your own research and your film, Our Bodies, Our Doctors, who are indeed being of use in a very serious and important way to folks for whom abortion might as well be illegal. Roe might as well have already been overturned in terms of what's available in this nation.
And I think one of the protections of Roe v. Wade, but that was of interest to me coming out of that early period, being part of the Feminist Women's Health Center and also a nurse active around this issue at the time in the early 70s, was the role of the medical profession. And how much the medical profession held the power of women's lives. You know, the therapeutic abortion meant you could, in some states, go before a panel of doctors if you had a sad enough story to tell.
Right, you had to plead your case.
Right,
so to speak.
And I wanted to include you in this film I just completed because you were so effective in calling out the medical profession on this issue and how their position in the regulation of abortion. What protections did Roe v. Wade provide in that way? Because you've spoken to that in your own work.
I think that what Roe was there are a few ways in which Roe has been extremely valuable. One, obviously, is that it encouraged the medical industry and it came about through negotiations between the judiciary and the medical industry. I mean, we know this. It wasn't a secret. What happened was that they saw, instead of just saying we run it and all of your lives, everyone of all genders, are in our hands, we can take over this entire sector of healthcare, which we have heretofore sneered at. That's not a direct quote, but that is essentially what I think their attitude was. We can take this over. Some of them, of course, were quite wonderful, like the ones in your movie. The majority have not been that great because of sexism, because of the power of the medical industry, because money became a major player in even the legal arena in which abortions were made available.
And it was through Roe v. Wade, it became a private decision between a woman and her doctor. And Carol Jaffe has written a wonderful book on this history and how the transfer of authority from the husband to the physician, who had always been in this position of quasi-guardianship in women's lives.
Yes. Let me help you out, honey.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And of course, women who have been able to appeal to a family physician, and there's a long history of that, and even physicians who are very sympathetic to the plights of women carrying pregnancies they don't want or can't sustain.
Right.
But that this all was never available to poor women in general who did not have a family physician.
So Indeed not.
And so throughout this history, social class politics have been very important.
And what I was interrupting you rudely to introduce into the conversation is that we need to never forget that Roe was announced in January of 73, and literally 3 years later, it took one of the biggest hits that it's taken in its whole history when the Hyde Amendment went through in the federal government, which made it impossible or nearly impossible.
Because there are a few extreme exceptions.
A few extreme exceptions, yes. But we're talking about the majority of women and girls here. And the Hyde Amendment took away financial support for poor women. And that
to be able to use Medicaid.
To pay for their abortion health care.
And that's what's at stake with 106, a ballot measure in Oregon, which is a long history of denying access to poor women.
Yes.
And that's what's at stake.
And we can't be so happy about the fact that Oregon is, you know, better than many other states. Maybe some people say than all other states. We are better with abortion health care. That we don't realize how important it is to seriously read the measure and vote appropriately.
And part of the importance of this is that Oregon is one of some dozen or so states, 15 states, that supplements what the federal government will not provide in Medicaid by guaranteeing that women on the Oregon Health Plan who have Medicaid services can have their abortions covered.
Yes, and this measure would eviscerate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, would just cut it right out.
And another area of the politics of abortion that was there from the beginning and I think has been the frontier of the right to life or anti-abortion movement is this question of it being a private decision until viability. And of course, medical viability is a moving target.
Yes.
Right. Because you can keep a fetus of 6 months alive, but it's apt to have health problems, require special care.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so
it's a tragic situation. I'm going to call it a tactical error on the part of the anti-abortion movement. It's bad for babies. It's bad for their mommies. It's not a good thing what they're doing.
And most of the women who are pushed into later abortions, which are more medically difficult.
Oh, definitely.
And also, more risky. Are poor women who have trouble traveling, accessing the services
and
to figure
young
out what
women,
to do.
Teenagers who didn't even know they were pregnant until they were almost 4 months. People who are in dire straits from the jump then suffer even more.
And there's something very punitive about the attitude toward particular women who, quote, wait too long. We're here today also to raise support for the show and for KBOO. You're a KBOO volunteer.
I encourage everybody listening.
What's your skin in this game?
Sign up, folks. You're lucky to have KBOO. We're lucky to have KBOO. This is the voice of the people here in Portland, in Oregon.
So thanks for being with us here on the show today.
Thank you.
Jan Hocken talking with Judith Arcana, and she has a website. We can see more about her work at juditharcana.com.